Congratulations, guys. It's always good to see new members join our church family. Our scripture reading today is from Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, if you could turn with me there. And please stand with me for the reading of God's word. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Thank you. You may be seated.
Okay, I'm back. You reproduce what you honor. My great-grandmother knew her daughter's name, and she knew her face, and she knew the sound of her voice, and she knew that she would see her daughter every other day, or at least once a week, but she frequently forgot what day it was. And she was cared for, and she was fed, and she was bathed, and her clothes were laundered, and her basic needs were met. And I remember she loved cardinal birds, and so she kept a calendar of them on her wall. She had trouble hearing and eventually trouble eating. And she struggled to remember who was still in the land of the living, and who her husband was, and her own age. And she forgot my name a few times, too. But she knew her daughter's name, and she knew what she looked like, and she knew the sound of her voice. My grandmother cared well for her mom for around a decade, I want to say over a decade. She would frequent visits to the nursing home, console anxious phone calls from a frantic woman, and she would comfort her aging mother. Even among her own struggles that she had with physical health, and time constraints, she persisted to care for her dementia-riddled and Alzheimer-battered mother. And she did this because she loved her, because she honored her. And you reproduce what you honor. I was recently in some conversations where the question about caring for aging parents came up. One of them was with Katie, and we were recognizing that we're entering into that initial shift of dependency on our parents into now meeting to begin asking, like, how do we eventually care for them? I would never call our parents old because they might be listening to this. So we'll just say that their seasoned years are showing, you know. But we were talking about what caring for them would look like. How can we honor them? Another one of those conversations was with a group of people describing the pain and the hardship of caring for their elderly parents. It included prayer for the struggle of knowing how to care for both believing and unbelieving parents, prayer for endurance to care for them both in physical needs as well as their spiritual needs. And the last one was a question that I thought was so interesting. Which one of your kids is going to care for you in your old age? That took some self-reflection and reflection on our parenting. Did we discipline our kids well? Did we love them well? Do they know the Lord? And questions like that will make you revisit how you parent your kids. It's strange to think about their temperaments and how one of them may take the greater burden in supporting you in your old age. But the hope and the truth is, you reproduce what you honor. Scripture says this morning, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving. So this morning we're going to talk about honoring our father and our mother. I might flip it. I might say mother and father. What honoring them looks like. And then I want to look at Christ as the perfect Son of God. But before we do that, let's pray. Father, I pray that this morning we see your word with fresh eyes. You would teach us what it means to honor our parents. Father, that you would teach us how to honor them in a broken world. And that you would, within us, reproduce the right way to honor our parents as a reflection of the way that Christ honors you. We pray this in your name. Amen. So this morning, we're looking at the fifth commandment out of 10. As I was reminding us last week, they were given to Israel to instruct them on the kind of people that they're to be before they enter the land. This is who you're supposed to be as God's covenant people. And they're going to represent him to the world. Everything commanded to Israel can inform us too, because we're also God's covenant people. So how are we supposed to do that? And that's what this commandment attempts to answer to, along with all the other ones. The other thing I said last week is that there's two positive commands, which is interesting. The first one we looked at, remember the Sabbath. You have to do it. It's a positive thing. But the other one is to honor your father and your mother. It's another positive commandment. We are commanded to do this thing. And so what I want to do is I want to start by just looking at this text, and I want to answer a couple questions about it. And the first one I want to ask is, what is honor? What is honor? The word we read for honor is the same word we use to glorify. It can capture the sense of weight or heaviness. And we use this word a lot for God and his glory, right? But in this case, it's used to communicate the honor of a father and of a mother. It's to put weight or value or glory upon them. And it's to treat them as valuable and as precious. And I want to start here because I believe that our sinful, natural desire is to define honor in a way that makes this commandment easier to do. Sometimes I want honor to be something that's temporary or rote. Kind of like when you stand for the national anthem at a baseball game. I want to take off my hat, I want to sing a song, and then I want to get on with the game. I want to trivialize honor. And many of us have had a hard conflict with our parents, or maybe we still do. To diminish what honor means makes it an easier commandment to fulfill. We can pat ourselves on the back easier because it weighs less. It's trivialized. But honor implies glory, value, and importance. The opposite is to curse. Turn with me to Exodus 21, verse 17. It says, whoever curses his father or his mother shall be put to death. The idea of cursing implies the idea of invoking harm or speaking obscenities, right? But worse, it can also be translated as to trivialize, to make it insignificant. And it steals the weight away from honor. When we redefine honor, we are trivializing it. And we're making it something less. When we dishonor our parents, we trivialize them. We curse them. We make them something less in our hearts. And the consequence stinks too. Like death. Oh my goodness. Here's a more explicit one. Here's Deuteronomy 21. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to them. This is a disciplined son. Then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gate of the place where he lives. And they shall say to the elders of his city, this is our son. This our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear. I'd be scared. I would not want to hold that stone because I'd be too scared to be the guy. The son has been disciplined, and yet he rebels. He doesn't listen to the voice of his father or his mother. And it's not a minor infraction for Israel. He is determined to sin egregiously against his parents. His rebellion is so complete that he forsakes them for gluttony and for booze. In Matthew 15, we read the story of Jesus rebuking the Pharisees and scribes for taking advantage of their parents. Here's the story. Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat. He answered them, and why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, honor your father and mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or mother, What you have gained from me is given to God. He need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. What's happening is the Pharisees are claiming that the money that they should be using to take care of their parents is instead being given to God. It would be like if I were to take care of my parents and my mom called and they shut the gas off, and she's like, hey, son, like they shut the gas off. And I said, oh, mom, don't worry. I took that money and I tithed it to the church, you know? But the problem being, like, I work for the church. And so I'm also, like, a recipient of the very money that I'm taking from them to go towards them. Does that make sense? They made up ways of getting around how to honor their parents so they could benefit from this commandment and honor themselves. They transform honor using the traditions of men, and instead they turn it into dishonor. But real honor requires more of us. It's that weight, again, and it stresses a value or an importance or a conviction or a person to be honored. It requires sacrifice, and it requires love. So the second question, why my parents? I don't like them, right? It's for you, youth group. I don't like my mom and dad. Why is honoring our father and mother so important to God? Why does he command all of Israel to honor their parents? It should be a family matter, right? That's a family matter. That's not for everybody. Augustine, the early church theologian, he saw the value of this, so he's a rhetorician. He knows how to ask really fancy questions. So he asked this: if anyone fails to honor his parents, is there anyone he will spare? And the answer is no. There's nobody that he will spare. Like the relationship between a husband and wife, the relationship between a parent and a child is a primary relationship for a society to flourish. If we fail to honor our parents, why would we expect our own children to succeed in honoring us as parents? Nobody is spared. Parents have the awesome responsibility of representing God to their children. They're the first authority over a child and bear an immense responsibility to represent what good authority looks like. They're to reflect God to their children. How a parent teaches, loves, corrects, punishes, and disciplines their children should be representative of how God works in shaping our character to bear his image. They're to instruct their children in the ways of the Lord. And it sets the pattern not only for their home, but for the people that they live among. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 6. This is one of the passages that Israel would recite in their homes for generations, and it shows the responsibility of parents in order to set the standards for their children. 6:1. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it. That you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son, children, and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and of your gates. It's everywhere. Everywhere is where this is to be, in the home. These commandments. This command that we're talking about is given to Israel because God is placing such a weight on the family. It's just like Dave was praying this morning. He is prescribing honor to it. The family is supposed to be a microcosm of the whole nation. What happens in the home will affect the nation, and that means dishonor in the home dishonors the nation, but honor in the home will honor the nation. You reproduce what you honor. The reasoning for this commandment is on the back end of the verse. Just let's look at it real quickly again. It says, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The purpose is so the Israelites can dwell there a long time. Honor of parents will honor the nations. But that doesn't mean that this is a promise they're going to like live a really long time necessarily. It's more like a promise that Israel will be there a long time. How do we honor? The Apostle Paul repeats this commandment in Ephesians 6. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus, he sees the value here. He sees it as God's provision that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land if you honor your parents. If parents, as authority figures within the home, are respected by their children, then respect for authority figures within society at large will follow. That's the implication. Those who build a society, like a home, we always think, oh yes, darling, let us build a society. But in a place where old age has an honored place, those people can confidently say that they too one day will get to enjoy that same honor. So where do we start? How do we honor? We're all trying to honor our parents probably at different stages of life. So we're going to start small, and then we're going to work our way up. So for children, oh, there's so many children in here right now. It's okay. Honor looks like this. It looks like obedience in the Lord. In the Lord, part of that expression, it means that we obey our parents up to the point where obeying them is denying God. So children, obey your parents in the Lord when they ask you to clean your room. Apologize. Do your chores, do your homework. These are good things for you. But once a parent asks you to like cheat on an assignment or to like steal another kid's lunch money or cheat, oh, I already said cheat, right? Or like, yeah, make fun of the neighborhood kids. Yeah, I was that neighborhood kid. Those kinds of commands are not displaying obedience in the Lord. But what about for teenagers? Because like, where's the line there, right? The same thing applies, but it looks different as we get older, doesn't it? We don't use the same kind of discipline, parents, on younger children that we do on our teens. I don't have a teen. I can't really say that. I've got an 11-year-old. But it's different. Solomon, writing for his son, he teaches him to heed his instruction. So like Proverbs 1, 8 and 9. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. Or in Proverbs 2, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. This is a father's instruction. Last one, Proverbs 3. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? In all of these instructions, Solomon is prompting his son to embrace the commandments that have been taught to him. by his father, King David. Even the last verse, it's just like the end of the promise that we read about in Ephesians 6. Honor your father and your mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. The truth is, though, guys, like, for kids and teens, it's really hard, in particular, to honor your parents. There was a guy who complained, youth today, oh yeah, here we go, the old man, curmudgeon, get off my lawn guy. Youth today, they love luxury. They have bad manners, contempt for authority, no respect for older people, and they talk nonsense when they should work. Young people do not stand up any longer when adults enter the room. Yeah, that's right. They contradict their parents. They talk too much. They guzzle their food, and they put their legs on the table, and they tyrannize the elderly. Our youth tyrannizing the elderly. This was Socrates, the philosopher who lived 400 years before Christ. And the way he describes young people is hilarious because it's like exactly, it's exactly the perception of young people, including me. I was miserable to my parents. Young people, to honor your parents is to listen to and remember their instruction. Remembering isn't a mere acknowledgement like we talked about last week. It's not like a string on a finger. You have to do it. It's obedience. But you adults, at what point are you no longer under your parents' authority? I like to go to at least Genesis 2. I know what it says. It says, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. A husband and a wife are a new family unit. They leave their father and their mother, and in a sense, they leave the authority of their parents to establish themselves as parents. But it doesn't mean that their parents are deserving of less honor. It's just that the relationship has changed. Where they were to honor their parents through their obedience as children, they now have their own family, and they're establishing the same relationship with their own children to protect them, to teach obedience, to teach discipline, to teach the commandments of the Lord. Honoring our parents when we're older, it's like protecting their name against falsehoods. Not truths, but falsehoods. It's respecting them when they speak into our lives, whether it's good or bad. They care about you. It is caring for them when they can no longer care for themselves. It is to be obedient in the Lord. So as we grow, the nature of our relationship changes with our parents. But we still honor them because that's the nature of God's covenant people, is to honor our parents. The way we honor our parents informs how we will be treated by our own children and how we view God. Because you reproduce what you honor. It's easier to do with parents, though, who are believers in Christ. Many of us have a hard time with our parents. Either we were treated unfairly by them, or abused, or manipulated, or abandoned. They might claim Christ as their Savior, but live a life devoid of any indication of that. Or they may not want anything to do with you because of your faith in Him. Turn with me to Matthew 10. Speaking to the disciples, as he's commissioning them to go into the world, he says, do not think that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I've come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. We should not honor our children over God. We should not honor our parents over God. and our homes may break over the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we can still seek to honor our father and our mother in whatever capacity we can, because we're not called to cast them aside. This might be easier seen in the way that we speak about them in front of our children. You speak well of your parents? What about the way you talk to them? Does it communicate respect? Maybe it's all I can do is send my dad a text on his birthday or in your prayers as a family or in really awkward family gatherings or reunions or sharing the gospel with them. When the Israelites received this commandment, they didn't get to argue about what honor looked like because that'd be terrifying at the foot of this mountain with all this going on. In all likelihood, many of them had to deal with the same parental baggage because it's been here since Genesis 3. They did it because they believed in the promise that they would live long in the land that God was going to give to them. And we do it for similar reasons. We do it with the hope that our children will see the value we place on our parents, emulate it, and display it to their children too, that they would honor God through this commandment. And when we honor our parents, no matter how good or terrible they were, we honor God. It's his commandment that we practice in the scriptures, not theirs. It came from him, and he's good, and he loves his children. Before receiving this, the Israelites were enslaved to Pharaoh. They lived by his rules and his statutes, hard labor and reproach. And he oppressed them, and he killed their sons. He was not a father to this people. And yet God redeems them. He knows what it means to be a good father, and he delights in parenting Israel. He goes so far as to say that Israel is his firstborn. In Exodus 4:22, he says, "Thus the Lord Israel is my firstborn son, and I say to you, let my son go, that he may serve me. If you refuse to let him go, behold, I will kill your firstborn son." God's children are the Israelites, his covenant people, and the God who calls them his firstborn calls us his covenant people as well. He will protect his children to the point of bloodshed because he loves and cares for his children. Ephesians 1 says he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he blessed us in the beloved. To honor one's father and mother is to honor God. He is our father. And he is good, and he loves his children. Christ sets the example for us. In Luke 2, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to the custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances." That would be so scary if I lost my kid for days. That's like an understatement. "And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress.' And he said to them, 'Why were you looking for me?'" So anticlimactic. "Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. He went down with them, and he came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. He's so quick to the obedience of his heavenly father. He knows where he is supposed to be because he is to be with his father, but he displays obedience to his earthly father and mother by fulfilling this commandment. We're going to take communion in a moment, but before we turn there, I want to look at one more example of Christ's obedience. He honors his heavenly Father and his earthly mother even at the point of death. In the garden, before his arrest, we see him pleading with his Father about the trial that's set before him. And he withdrew from them in Luke 22. About a stone's throw, he's away from the disciples, and knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." And there appeared to him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down on the ground. Jesus honors his heavenly Father by submitting to his will out of obedience, which is an impossible task for us. And God strengthens him. He sends an angel to encourage his son because he loves him. But regardless, Christ submits to the Father to take away the sins of his people. Later on the cross, he sees John, and he sees his mother, and here's what happens in chapter 19 of the Gospel of John. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. He honored his mother on the cross by providing someone to care for her. And after his death, he doesn't stay dead long, but he makes the provision. His work on the cross honored his heavenly Father and his earthly mother as an example for us to reproduce, because you reproduce what you honor. For those who believe in this great work, Christ calls his brothers and his sisters. So as we turn to communion, let's remember Christ's fulfillment of this command as we seek to honor our earthly parents, to show honor to our heavenly Father who created them. If you've received Christ as your Lord and Savior from sin and expressed that in him through baptism, then this is for you. This is an opportunity to fellowship with one another as sons and daughters of God, to remember Christ's sacrifice, his body broken for us, his blood shed for us, that our sin would be covered by the mercy and grace of God. If you have not received Christ as your Lord and Savior and expressed that through baptism, I would ask you to refrain. But instead, I want you to pray that God would make known the truth of his Son to you, and that he would teach you what true obedience means. The ushers would come forward, and the worship team as well. I'd like to pray for us.